You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Susan Dene, and you are watching the Know You're Crazy talk show where we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Today I have with me a fantastic guest, Dr. Pat, who agreed to be with me on short notice. And so welcome, Dr. Pat. Super good to have you.
Yeah, I like it better like that. I actually like short notice. If you give me too much time, there's too much that's going on up here.
Yep.
Short notice works for me.
Well, you know, today's show is on passion and purpose. I had done a recent show where I talked about the pee-pees, and I had to be careful with them because they can feel really big. But having said that, the reason why I had asked to see if you were available on short notice is because, you know, I got to do this fantastic event over the weekend. You know, a way to jump out into the community, put my business out there, you know, the whole booth. We had a festival in the area, and it was really interesting watching people approach the booth. Some scared somebody's going to take something away from them. Curiosity, like, what the hell is this woman doing? You know, and so I love observing individuals. And what I noticed the biggest difference, and this was the main inspiration for reaching out to you, was on Saturday, I had the booth all set up advertising somewhat of the emotional elevation program, which, you know, is my program. That's kind of like what I like to call the in-between of mentoring and coaching women for over 15 years. You know, the unspoken techniques that come as a result of woman after woman, you know, after teaching, after teaching, after teaching, you know, when people are engaged in working with others extensively one-on-one for many years, there becomes an intuitive knowing. Yeah. And it's almost instinctual to us, or it's a type of style. So anyway, the program Emotional Elevation is a result of that work. And so that was being advertised. And then, of course, the certification in high performance coaching. So you got both of them in the booth. And Saturday, you know, because it's different, right? Because, you know,
I wanted to know if you got a big enough booth for those two.
Exactly. So you'll watch people's response or reaction to emotional elevation. I had that on the board, you know, I gave away three prizes. Actually four prizes total, but on the board were three prizes, and the words emotional got so much reaction. Like, those were the words that people would, you know, like, oh, that's a little like too getting real. Right.
Yeah.
And then others would be attracted to the high performers. Well, tell me about high performance. Right. And so that was Saturday. Now here was the icing on the cake, Pat. On Sunday, I decided, let's go ahead and hang up Know Your Crazy t-shirts, and we're going to put Know Your Crazy podcast. So now, and I took off emotional elevation off the board. So now I'm testing the waters. I'm really interested in what are people organically attracted to?
And oh my gosh.
Know Your Crazy one.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to actually state a coaching program called Know You're Crazy, because I might be, I don't know. But I will tell you that people understand the Know You're Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really do.
I'm not surprised. I'm just shocked you didn't have to get another booth. No, I mean, I have two of those things in the booth. That's a booth. But then bringing Know You're Crazy in the booth, that's a booth on steroids. You know what I like about it is, and you don't know if you're going to develop something, but you don't know until you get out there. And that's what you did. You got out there. You engaged with people. You saw people's faces light up, right? Other than all of us here at the network, you saw people that didn't know you come by and they lit up. And what you get is interesting information, because maybe Know You're Crazy is part of emotional elevation coaching. Maybe it's a separate module. maybe you take that thing and you teach three-month courses on it. Because you know what? People want to know they're crazy. I want to know this. Know you're crazy. I need to know that part of me. Well, I need to know that part of me.
Yeah, what was really...
But then I need to know what to do with it, Susan. That's why I'm saying.
Well, it was kind of funny. You know, I would watch people walk by. Now, the other thing that I put in the booth was... On the day of Know You're Crazy, I put on a large board, and this is kind of going into the passion and, you know, all that mm-hmm. stuff, but I put on a board, how would you know that you could, you know, what was the words? How would you know if working with a coach would benefit you?
Oh, yeah.
How would you know? And so the first one that I put up there was, you live in the shoulds. That's one of the answers. You live in the shoulds. So what does living in the shoulds feel like?
Oh my gosh. Let's get down on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you are there, it's not just your own should, like I should dot, 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 dot. It's your mother's should. Your mother's, you should dot, dot, dot. Or it's your spouse's should. The spouse should, those things, they make you crazy. It's like, oh, honey, you know, you really should, like, what, lose 10 pounds? What are you saying? Or, you know, oh, how about an occasional acquaintance? But the one that's getting people right now, because I spent a lot of years doing research in the workplace, it's the boss's should. You know, you really should come back to work. Really? I should come back to work? I got three kids out with COVID. And you're telling me I should come back to work? And what if I could come back to work? Is it a could? Is it a should? What? And what do people say when you put that up there, Susan?
Well, I think that question, along with two others, what would happen is people would be walking by and I'd kind of watch them, and then I'd see them look, and then they'd see those questions, and then they'd read the questions, and then they'd kind of look around at the Know You're Crazy, and then they'd look at me, and then they'd cautiously walk up to find out what's going on in this booth. And then the questions would come, what do you do? Right. And then they'd be playing the poker I had set up or putting in for the drawing. You know, today I was talking to a client and she had mentioned her daughter. And she said, and she was saying this humorously because she had caught herself. But her daughter, obviously younger, okay, and this woman is 60. And so, but her daughter goes through phases where she doesn't shave her pits. The mom.
I know that phase really well.
And the mom is like, oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. But the mom also knows that this is her daughter expressing her individuality and her desire to do what she wants to do with her body. And what her and I were talking about and had a brief discussion over was where our beliefs about what we should be doing are really coming from. And I think this is a huge, and this is where the shoulds come from, because I think it's really an open conversation to have about, am I allowing myself permission to live my life according to my standards, or have I even paused to ask the question, whose beliefs am I living by? Mm. And it's not because people place those beliefs upon us, Pat, it's because we choose to bring them on. And it's okay. I think so many of us get caught in a cycle. So let's talk about midlife crisis. Why does midlife crisis occur, in my opinion? Because we have been living in beliefs for at least 10 years prior to that, that no longer align, because they've been given to us by whatever we picked up, primarily society. You hit it on the head, our parents, who has influenced us over these several years. And then we wake up and say, oh, I'm no longer living in integrity. I feel shameful. I feel like I should be doing something, but I don't feel like doing something. So where is the disconnect at?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, look, we're going through an extraordinary time right now mm-hmm. where there are more people, and I'm going to address women because that's when I know the numbers and statistics are showing it now. There are more women asking the questions you just asked, and they're not just asking them at a superficial way, like superficially, like just in passing with your friends. Asking themselves in a painfully deep way, And unless you have what happened to me, where I did not have the courage to take a step out, even though I knew I had to wait to my company, right? After I instigated it, because I did instigate it. I know I did some stuff to cause them to get all like not happy with me. That's when I became in the top 10 of these. She's in the top 10 of who we should really downsize, right? That's when that happened. And yet I know it happens for divine timing. And I know that's the way it happens. But to not have answers to those questions and ruminate about them, Susan, it's so very painful. It leads to depression. It leads to anxiety. It leads to feelings of unfulfillment. It leads to anger, frustration. It leads to realizing I may not be leading a meaningful life here.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you determine that? Let's see. What was the one that next thing I had? Yeah. Number two, why would a coach be a good idea? Your intentions don't match your actions.
Oh my gosh.
Your intentions don't match your actions. I think this might have been the top attractor this weekend, was this question right here. In fact, Pat, although we're talking about women, do you know who had quality conversations with me about what I could help them with? Were men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they actually leaned more into the emotional elevation, which kind of surprised me. But one gentleman said, I've worked with a coach, and I said, well, if the headway wasn't being made with the coach, were you getting underneath as far as why that was? Because that's where the emotional side comes into it. Because even men live in a world where they themselves have been advised and told to feel a certain way or not feel a certain way or don't be represented or don't communicate or don't express that. And then depending on which culture you're coming from and the influence, I think one of the most interesting, I can't remember the name of the book, maybe it'll come to me later, but one of the most interesting books I had read around patriarch. And what she was saying was the impact of that, the author was writing about the impact of that, not only on women, but on men.
Yeah, exactly.
And how they are raised within that. And then the reverse of that, about how even women are patriarchal in how they, single moms raising their sons, wanting them to be a man. Do you see where I'm going with this, right?
You're absolutely right. And I agree with you. I mean, you and I both have experience in coaching and working with men. I mean, you cannot work in corporations like you and I have and not know what that's like. I mean, you know, I reported directly to the entire board and vice presidents. And boy, you know, what do you learn from that? Well, first of all, you learn, are you going to be true to yourself about things, right? But you're also dealing with a wide range of politics. And, you know, while women do experience that, men are in that top 2%. They live and breathe that every day. Mm-hmm. You know, what would be like for them to understand the emotional elevation dynamics of organizational politics that they bring home? They bring home to their dinners. They bring home to their children, right? They bring it home. They carry it with them. So where does it go?
Yeah. Yeah. And then watching, I think also, you know, with a few male clients, it's like the inherited shame over not feeling like they're producing enough, they're giving back enough, or old held beliefs themselves over their partner that they're in a relationship with and not understanding how to break out of that, right? For fear of, if I let go of these ideals that I have set for myself, these beliefs, these patterns of behavior within my relationship, what would that look like for me? And how would I still feel confident within my own being as a man, as a male energy, right? I mean, it's quite fascinating. I just, it really truly is. You know, we talk about, you know, this emotional elevation or high performance coaching where you get to talk about courage and clarity and persuasion and psychology and physiology and all these wonderful things. And so how does that get to the root of what do I want to do passionately? What do I want to do purposefully? How do I find my daily interactions, whether it's professional or whether it's 80% of my living, breathing time, doing something that aligns me with the satisfaction of creativity, of enjoyment, of joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? How many people feel joy?
I'm not sure how many people even know if they would feel joy, that that was like joy.
Yeah.
Like that was like a joy moment.
Yeah.
You know, but that experience at the booth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that you open people up by the questions is actually the way you live your life, Susan. And, you know, you were showing up as you. You really wanted to know what is your answer to that question? Because you and I both have gone out and hired coaches for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gotten people to mentor us. I think that's why we where we are. I know that's why I am where I am. Oh, yeah. I know I did not get here myself. I did not. I know that. And the toughest coach I had out of the bunch wasn't my business coach. It was my spiritual coach. I was like, seriously, you want to talk about what today? About how I'm not doing what? Because I don't trust in what? I can't tell you how many times I walked out of the room on her. But I always went back.
I had a mentor. Oh, I had a mentor one time tell me we were doing some intense work, and she looked at me and she said, because, you know, Pat, I talk about, you know, the two core personalities, which quite frankly, I have found in the couple work that I'm doing, it is a fantastic way to get to the personalities, like on the, you know, the, like, uh-huh. you know, the core kind of stuff, but the bulldozer. So I'm at the core of the bulldozer. And then there's a lot of doormats sprinkled in there throughout the years. But I remember she looked at me across the table and she said, I'm just going to tell you that right now you're scaring me. And it must have been the intensity. It must, because she would not stop. She was going for the root. And she just kept saying, what is your part? What is your part? And I was clueless. And that was a good coach, because yep. constantly, what is your part? What is your part? And honestly, Doug, I didn't know. I couldn't get there on my own. She had to hold my hand to show me. And this was in regards to intimate relationships. This wasn't, you know, that piece of it. And so which area are you working on? Right.
Yeah.
It was leveling. It was hard.
Leveling. And you heard me talk about Mary Louise Smith. Mary Louise Smith was my boss when I was given a lousy frontline job instead of a promotion that I had to prove myself in this, like, seriously, right? And it was 1986 or something like that. And I was going under Mary Louise Smith. I cannot tell you what I learned from this woman. Never actually saw her get up from her desk and walk. And this is back in the day, like, you sit there and you have coffee and you smoke. And you're smoking, like, in the room, right? Or something like that. Even if she wasn't supposed to smoke it, she'd be smoking in the room. And I remember this because I had never had anybody that I worked for quite like that, that confronted me woman to woman.
Yeah.
And I would walk in this room. It was a thankless job. I didn't know it was even possible to take a failing graphics department who I was hired by her boss to get rid of everybody. And Mary Louise made it clear, we are not getting rid of anybody. So here I am now, like, okay. So we hid the fact that I was not firing anybody for a year. And I worked with two guys. Okay, I can say this. You're flaming alcoholics, no question yeah. about it. Lunch yeah. started at 10, and yeah. and the, everybody was like, everybody's running the show. But I would walk into her room, my own crazy alcoholic self, and I would say, blah 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 blah. Blah was doing. She would say, pick up, you know, beautiful black skin, beautiful brownish skin, aww. Beautiful fingernails. Holy cow, looked gorgeous, perfect makeup. Got the big fat glasses on, right? And I would walk in and she could hear me walk because you're wearing those corporate shoes. Clank, clank, clank. And I walk in and she would never lift her head up. And I'm like, and she would walk, look up at me the first time. Very exciting. Now, what part of the problem are you? I could not walk in her room ever in the year I worked for her without answering that question. And I would just be, Susan, I'd say, it's not my problem that they stayed in the bar for 3 and 4 hours. What part of the problem are you?
Yep.
It's not my, I'm not responsible. What part of the problem are you? And I can't tell you how many times I walked out of that room and she would say, young lady, do not, you walk out of that room, do not come back.
Well, you know, and that is
corporate,
you know,
America.
Right. And as you're sharing that, what's going through my mind is, and this came up today, you know me, I'm on the elliptical in the morning and the download's coming, you know, and like, oh yeah. But one of the things that I find is very interesting about where we're at today as a society, about the access to all this internet, this free content, you know, free educational courses and everything. Here's the number three. How would you know if you would benefit from a coach? And this is going to exactly align with the point that you and I are making right now. You say, I know a lot. Why am I saying that? Because people want to grow and there is a band-aid effect. Now, it doesn't mean it's not effective of getting my feel-good moment out of YouTube or my feel-good moment out of scrolling through TikTok or my feel-good moment watching. And hey, you know me, I post to social media. Actually, your team does it for me a lot and I appreciate that. Because I just finding time for that. But here's the thing. But a nice inspirational quote will make us feel better. A nice talk will make us feel better. This right here, what we're doing right now is making somebody feel better. And so there is a place for it. But here it is. But if it is a band-aid that now you think you know stuff, but yet your life continues to not move forward, you don't have a vision. Einstein said it, and I'm going to paraphrase big time right now. You can't solve crazy with the same head that caused it.
Cannot.
That's Susan Denae quote there with a little Einstein. Okay. So, but that's the deal. If I am constantly in a place of stubbornness and I think I know what the solution is because I listen to all these people, but I don't have somebody sitting across from me, checking me, remaining humble with humility. If I don't have somebody giving me the direct talk, knowing where I'm coming from every day, if I don't have somebody who is part of my life, who is helping me reach a vision that I cannot even see, then all the videos I watch ain't going to matter. All the inspirational quotes ain't going to matter. And I think that that is the difference between people think they know stuff, and maybe they do, but knowing and putting into action are two completely different deals. So how does that relate to passion? How does that relate to possibility? Because you can't get there all the time on your own. Because if you could, you'd be there.
Yeah. We saw it play out in the field and track. I love field and track. I talked about this all week on the show. I'm a closeted field and tracker. And I joke about it because when I played softball, they would be like, thank God you can hit the ball far, because that's how much time you need to get to first base. So clearly I was not going to be a runner or anything like that, but I've always loved it. And I just watched what you just talked about. I watched unforgivable events happen at this field and track because we're relying on technology without common sense. And what's so interesting is about what you said. Now, if you're Devin Allen's coach, this guy was scheduled to win. His dad passed away. It's a heartfelt story. This guy was targeted to take the show. But somebody must have thought there may not be anything we should be watching here with these races. Like his coaches, because if they'd have watched the two women, one, then the next, the first one be too fast out of the gate, disqualified. Now, the second one was even worse. So you watch the series of the way the universe works. The second woman, crazy, like 0.011 reaction time, after the gun disqualified, like the gun goes off, and then how do you even have the gun go off and then your time be called too reactive, and now you're disqualified? She recovered and came back. But Devon Allen, this young man, I cried. Lost his dad. His dad was his flagship. He was going off to play. This was his last race ever, Susan. He's going off, and he's going off to play with the Eagles. And I watched humanity fail him for technology. The guy got flagged for 0.001 reaction time. They never even saw it. A machine clicked. And this young man, after so many years of hard work, so many years his dad helped him, to watch the judge walk over very impersonally and hold up a red card. I have never, my heart dropped. And when you hear the stories now of there's no recourse, there's no way to get that back. Should somebody have been watching these starting gates for these field and track people? Should somebody have been looking at that and saying, holy cow, people, this machinery is so sensitive. And guess what? These judges, and by the way, the rules say, because there are rules, say that you as a judge can use your discretion.
Yeah.
But he's not going to walk away from his purpose. But for the rest of us watching, it was a moment. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it now. Things happen in life, Susan, yeah, don't they? That's why you need a coach. That's my answer to your coaching question. Right?
But that is why. So Dr. Pat, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up the conversation. And for the audience, you know, when you think about it, have you used a coach recently? How are you feeling on your life from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm outstanding, I'm aligned with my purpose, my passion, I'm so excited for the next adventure, to 1, I'm watching way too much TV, internet, I'm overeating, I feel like I'm living in the shouldas, my intentions aren't aligning with my daily actions. Stay tuned. Depending on where you score on that, because we're going to be talking about how you get to the next level, no matter where you're at on that scale, when we come back. So we will be back after this short break, folks.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's L-Y-S-A-B-E-L-T-Z.com.
Are you trying to figure out the best way to learn about your life purpose and how to access your soul gifts? Let Adrienne Cobb introduce you to the power behind her Wild Magic membership. Adrienne's Wild Magic membership is a one-of-a-kind, ongoing monthly program designed to connect you to your own life mastery and to live in a more expanded consciousness with your tribes of light. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Hey everyone, welcome. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae, and we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw. Joining me today is guest Dr. Pat, and we are just chatting it up. In the first half of the show, I've been sharing about attending an event where I was advertising the coaching business and the reaction that I was getting from folks. But honestly, talking about between the emotional elevation, the high performance, but really the difference, and this is kind of where we were wrapping up in the first half of the show, is the difference between understanding that the easy access to motivational videos, to inspirational quotes, to social media feel-good moments, you know, I mean, we've all had it. We've watched a video on some platform, and it's made us feel warm and fuzzy. You know, and it's always the heartfelt human connection videos that make us feel like that. And what we're talking about is, how do you know you need a coach, especially when if you're feeling bad or you're feeling low, there's easy access to a video or to a posting or something that gives you that moment of relief, that moment of, I feel better. But then you're finding that feel better is short lasting.
Yeah.
It's not continuous for you. And what Dr. Pat was sharing was in the first half was this relationship that you had with a manager at your, you know, in your working office days that really held you accountable, that asked you that question of, what is your part? What are you going to do? And what I was saying was, you know, another fantastic book I'm reading right now, but he's talking about coaching is a relationship. It's a relationship, and a coach wannabe or somebody who's looking to land clients or whatever they're doing really should be seeking out great conversations to have. So for the first half, I was talking about my three questions at the booth this weekend were, how do you know you need a coach? You live in a constant state of shoulds. I should be doing something more. I don't feel satisfied with myself. I'm constantly having a negative self-talk. Number two, your intentions don't align with your actions. You keep intending on getting your butt to the gym or eating healthy, but it never quite happens. And so then you're living in a constant state of, I just don't feel like it, or you're feeling guilty and shameful about your choices. And then this is the one that got me on to the start of the videos and the what I'll call the Band-Aid effect. I know. Oh, I know. I talked to a person today. And this is going to, I swear I'm going to get into the purpose and passion stuff that was the title of the show. But she said she was talking because she reached out and she wants to coach. Now, which is fantastic. And in the middle of just listening, in the very beginning, she had said she had wanted a different dream, but my dream job would be this. And the first thing I did, Pat, was I said, write that down. Because we're talking about you being a coach, but that's not the dream job you talked about. I don't know if you caught that. The dream job is this. And yet coaching aligns with wanting to help people. So how do you align those two things? And so having a brief conversation with somebody about things like that is where coaching comes into play and helping people. So how do you think, Pat, it would be, if you were to start with a client and they came to you and they said, I'm looking to find my passion or my purpose, what would be some feedback that you would give them? Like the starting, the baby step, the starting point of that. What would be some feedback you might
give? Yeah. If it's somebody that I'm just meeting raw and they're coming up to me and that's what they say to me, right? One of the most interesting things I find is hearing people's vision And I don't always use that word, because you say that word and you might as well be, I wouldn't be talking to you if I knew my vision, right? I mean, that's right. The answer.
Right.
But one of the things I love to do with that is I love to say, you know, I love that you're at that place. Because you're exactly where I was, and even on some days still am. Because purpose isn't an end point, it's a journey. And in order for us to really step into the energy of that, we have to acknowledge in deep gratitude where how we've gotten here, how we've gotten to this place so far.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we put so much into that word purpose, but really it's what's in your heart. You know, what's in your heart? See, we want purpose to be a thing. We want it to be a thing. Like, my purpose is to go to this tournament this weekend and come home with gold. Okay. Yeah. All right. Where does that get me? But what's really in my heart? And I think for the first half of my life, that was shut off, because I understood purpose to mean, how much money are you making this week? Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to make money, because I went from homeless to really being at a place where I had to work three jobs. I was never going to be in that place again. But, you know, two decades go on and some light bulb should go on to say, oh, no, you don't have to work like that anymore. You're holding on to like a 20-year thing that happened. But when somebody walks up to me, I want to hear their story.
Yeah.
It depends on who they are and how they walk up. But I get to the point where I have a conversation with them. And there'll be some people that will walk up to me and say something like that. And I'll say, you know, you've come to the right place, because you're a seeker now. So you're seeking. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking to me about that.
And you and I both understand that everything that we do, and this goes for anybody, everything that we choose to do with our day-to-day life, we do because we think it's going to make us feel better. We do because it is supposed to be fun. See, we forget the word fun, I think, as adults.
Yeah, we do.
Kids do such a fantastic job of displaying fun. The way they're just carefree about, you know, playing in the dirt or playing with, you know, that's why, you know, parents would always say, you know, I buy my kid all these toys, but really they want to play with a cardboard box, because that is where creativity lies. What can I do with the box? What kind of fun stuff can I make out of the box? And so as adults, I think what I have come across in working with others and myself, I forgot for a period of time how to have fun. My journey in starting to have fun came with my husband when, see this Ducati t-short today.
Yeah, see that.
For it.
But okay. We have to, okay. So we just have to let, and have different motorcycle desires, friends, right?
And still be friends. Because I mean, the search for fun, the search for satisfaction, ultimately isn't that kind of what we're looking for, is we're some sort of alignment with an enjoyment of life. Yeah. So when people will come to me and they're really stuck, or they're wanting to enjoy some facet of their life a little bit more, I like to ask them, what have you been good at your whole life? What have you been good at? You know, I mean, believe it or not, Pat, I had friends when I was younger come to me to talk to me about their stuff. When I look back,
right,
I was standing on a stage at 5 years old, singing in recitals. Seventh grade, I was doing lip sync. Performing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When I look back, this has been my entire day. And so who would have known that this whole time we have already been living what aligns us to our highest self, to our sense of satisfaction and joy? We have just buried it. Remember, in those societal beliefs, what you just listed, one, the more money I make, you know, the more important I am, or there's going to be some degree of satisfaction. And I don't know how many times we've heard this too, that it doesn't matter. You see people with millions and millions of dollars, billions, and they're unhappy.
Yeah. My dad would ask me every time he would call me, or I'd call him down in Florida, that is the first question he would ask me. How much money are you making now? And then he'd laugh. Oh, I know why my dad did that. He lost every cent he had. And that is his way, in his own way, saying she's doing pretty okay. Right. Yeah. I mean, that was his way of doing that. And then, of course, we'd move on and he'd tell me how much money my mom was spending on bingo. And I'd say, just be lucky she's not spending it on Mercedes and other things. Like, okay, it's bingo, Dad. It's bingo.
Is bingo a lost art? I mean, you know what?
I love bingo.
Bingo all the time, too. But you don't have bingo to play no more.
I love it. I could tell you where to go for bingo.
Bingo's fun.
It is fun, but why is it fun? See, why does it make us happy? Okay, because people that are there, I don't know if anybody, it's like bowling to me. Mm-hmm. They have so much fun. My mom would get like a 50 cards out on that table with the polka dot, and then she'd get me 10, she'd do hers, and then she'd come over and do mine. But laugh, and they have community. These people had a way to speak to each other. See, do we get that by tweeting? Like a tweet?
That's what I mean.
Do we get that?
Yeah. So today, in my conversation with this person, I asked her, I said, you know, when this particular situation comes up for you, one of the things that I have found really beneficial to me is I have to find my community. I have to find the community that's going to support me through that. I need to find my community that's going to laugh at that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's such a close community in recovery, because we laugh at our stories. We would make some people gasp if they saw the stuff that we're laughing at, but.
Oh, they'd never be able to get through a meeting and hear that.
Seriously. You can't. Oh my God. Seriously. You really can't, you know, as this week I was watching this booth and I'm observing individuals because I just love watching people. Do you know what was just very interesting to me? What was very interesting to me is I guess it was an observation. I don't want to call it a stereotype. It was an observation because it was consistent. But the cultures that were comfortable coming up and playing the game, no questions asked, what do you got going on? Other cultures were like, what are you going to take from me?
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I felt like a car salesman. I'd be like, we got this obligation to pay. I mean, but they were like, stand
no way.
I don't. And then you'd see the children. Somebody's got a game. There's free stuff. There's free stuff on the table. What's that in the bag? What's that got going on? They're the ones enjoying the festival. They're excited to go to booths. They're excited to see what they can get. You know, they're dragging the moms and the dads with them. You know, over here, mom, let me play. You know, they're reaching their little hands in our grab bag poker that we had going on. They're enjoying it. And you can't help but feel the alignment and the satisfaction that starts with us when we're little, when we're young. And then we get these layers of all these things. And so when people want to start talking about, well, what is my purpose or what is my passion? I think we know deep inside what that is, but we've yet to give ourselves permission to truly align and live with it because that's scary.
Yeah. You know, what you're talking about is our loss of innocence.
Yeah.
And see, that's really what's at risk in society for me right now. And, you know, let me just be clear about what I mean by that word. I don't mean it the way we use the word innocence. I mean it in a sense where we have this place where we're willing to explore, where we're willing to reach out, where we're not afraid to say what we think, where we're not afraid, you know, there's a degree of innocence in standing up for what you believe, you see. But yet you may be stereotyped as somebody that's not. Maybe you're stereotyped as somebody that's mean. Maybe you'd be called a feminist. Oh my gosh, not that. That. Mm-hmm. And you know, Linda shared a little story today. I was so struck by it. Linda had to babysit like this little toddler baby at Linda's house. And they moved all the stuff for Maddie, so she couldn't. But I heard her tell this story of this young child who very happy, laughing with the dogs, the whole thing. And Linda's got a ton of stuff everywhere, right? But they cleared it up. So Karen says to Maddie, no, don't touch. That was the last time you had to say that to her. But Linda observed something interesting. She said, I don't know what happened with this. But this little happy child had her little sippy. Is it a zippy, sippy? A little sippy cup. Had her little sippy cup walking around, she knew not to put things on the table, but she walked over to the table and she put the sippy in a coaster. And Linda said she must have watched Karen do it. And I said, you know, what did you say to her? What did you say to Matt? I mean, first of all, the fact that Linda even took the time to observe that. But you see, that is a sense of an acknowledgement and for a young toddler to know to put a sippy cup in a coaster because she watched somebody do it once. And I said, what did you do? Did you hug her? Did you go over? Because you see, we're so quick when the toddler doesn't put the thing in the sippy cup in the thing and puts it on your wood table, dripping everywhere, then you're going to go crazy. But see, what happened in the booth for you is you got to experience pure, uninhibited curiosity. See, I'm getting to your purpose question, because if you don't have these things, you will shut down so tight. You Houdini will not be able to get you out of the box. If you're not willing to have that sense of innocence, curiosity, the willingness to take a step towards something, even if you don't know what it is, cautiously but alertly, to ask the question, what is it? Then you're not going to get to the place of, do I want it?
Do you want it? And
do I want it? Oh, what do you got there?
Are you still teachable? Are you still teachable? Yeah. Are you still willing to be vulnerable?
Did the parents ever come over? Did the kids come? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was going to be heartbreaking if the parents didn't.
Oh no, they would come over. But are you still vulnerable to learning?
Yeah.
When's the last time that you really authentically gave your whole honest self to someone? You know, I was working with someone one time, and I thought, when you work with people after a while, you know, all of a sudden you'll wake up in the morning, you'll be having your coffee, and boom, something will come. Like, oh, right. But what had hit me upside the head this one morning was they're not yet being completely honest. They're still holding back. They're fearful of vulnerability. They're fearful of really putting it out on the table, because, you know, it's easier if we hold this in and don't let somebody really see us. Because, you know, because to admit that maybe there's a different way of doing things can be a very scary proposal for somebody. And that need to know, I know, is such a protective measure. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Pat. I think one of the advantages I have had my entire life is a simplistic view, and almost to where I've had to go the other direction with it, of just being willing to take in new information.
Yeah.
An exploration of self, almost to a point where at times where I've had to pull back and be like, all right, this is all the influence that you're taking in. Now, which one do you want to really live by? Right. Because I am a open book. Right. And the only reason I'm not more open on this show right here is because I don't know if people stop watching if I start swearing as much as I normally would in my personal life. Right. Like, you know. Half the networks would pull us.
the networks we distribute to would just be like, yank them.
That's right. So that's why I hold off. But I will tell you something about that toddler story, what you shared, because not only is it awesome to reward wonderful choices that people make, but here's the thing. Here's a story of my family about me. When I was two, my mom and dad would joke about the fact that they would slap my hand. I was back in the 70s. They would slap my little hands until they were beat red.
Oh my God. And
I would still go for it. So I would still be putting the sippy cup or whatever where it wasn't supposed to go. And they would be telling me no. But that fire within me, that whatever that was as a little kid to explore, to defy, to do whatever, because I wanted to know, was there even then? And so it's different for each of us as far as how much exploration do we want to watch, you know, and how how much importance do we want to place on certain things that will cut off a child or a teen? So many parents, I look at these coaching plat, you know, people want coaches for their kids. And I thought, if you embrace and encourage what they're bringing to the table and honor them for who they are, bright hair colored, shaved head, gender identity, whatever it is, you will find a child that will communicate with you. But yeah, if you constantly spend your time telling them what they should be doing, and you're already shouldn't those kids.
Oh my God.
On a constant basis. And there's a fine line. I understand discipline and not being a child's friend. However, are you honoring who they are within themselves? Are you honoring their uniqueness? Or are you trying to bury it because of your own opinion and your own embarrassment about what you think they're supposed to align to? That's tough stuff to hear as a parent sometimes, when it beats up against your own ideals. But so many can struggle with not really honoring who their children are and their individuality, you know, is so important.
It is. And thank you for pointing that out, because we are influenced as children. You know, I had some learning disabilities as I grew into my teenage years. But I'll tell you this. Thank you for bringing up the hand thing, because back in the day, I remember the only time my dad hit me was when I crossed the street. I'm 5 years old in New York, in like parts of New York you don't even want to know, or the Bronx. And my dad says, do not go across the street to those boys. And I'm like, they're my friends. Like, I didn't say it, but I wait for him to go and I go across the street. So my mom tells him, only time my dad ever laid a hand on me, pulls out his belt and he spanks me with the belt. Great. The next night, my dad, and you know, I'm like, I ain't crying, buddy. The next night, my dad comes home and my mom starts yelling at my dad because he did something he was not supposed to do. I go into his bedroom and he got his belts. They hang on the thingy. And yeah, I get that belt. And this is what I did. And I walk in and I took that belt buckle first, at eye level height with my dad. Where do you think I hit him with that belt buckle?
Oh no.
I'm fine. And my dad couldn't say very much, but my mom says, Tony, that's what I'm telling you. You deserve a spanking too. And I remember that, like, I don't remember a lot from that, but that is how absorbent we are. And we stay that way as we get older. That doesn't go away, Susan. You and I absorb things every day.
We absorb and we are influenced. And that is the beauty of the universe, right? I mean, the beauty of the universe is finding out, how do we want to be influenced? But is it time to have new influences, yeah, and allow yourself to have a new belief system if the old one's no longer, yeah, serving you?
I don't know, right, how anybody works without a coach in the world we live in today. Yeah, I don't know how we do. I know I have several of them, because there's so much information that is coming so fast. And every day I have to ask myself, who am I looking at in the mirror today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I have the same excitement, enthusiasm? And the days that I don't, I dial a phone number.
Mm. Real quick, you said, am I having the same excitement and enthusiasm?
Yeah. That's my benchmark.
Right there is profound. That's my baseline. That's fantastic. That is a profound question to ask yourself. One of the ones that I'll ask myself, am I authentically living like I want to? Right? After living a way that I thought was going to work and it didn't work, but am I authentically honoring, yeah, myself, who I am? Oh, remember I told you someone might mow their lawn with my shack door?
I love it. But you know, if anybody's listening to this show, and your answer is not emphatically yes,
yeah,
Susan and I, we have people on our phones. Yes, we may text them, but I guarantee you,
yeah,
when my answer to that question is a solid no, I am dialing somebody for help. I don't care what time it is, because I don't want to live my life like that.
Yeah, it's a conversation.
Yeah, and it's an inside job. And sometimes you need help from the outside to clean up the inside.
You just do. So I don't know, everyone. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that mower too loud in the background? It's making me
The timing of the mower is perfect, right? It's almost like Lydia cueing us that we got 2 minutes left. So in comes the mower to remind us. So Lydia must have hired the mower.
So you too can live your passion in your backyard, in your shack, when your neighbor decides to mow their freaking twigs at the end of your talk show. You too can do this for yourself. Just call somebody. Okay. So fantastic episode today. Thank you for being with me, Dr. Pat.
Thank you, Susan.
If anybody would like to reach out to me, I'm at susandanae.com. I would be more than happy to have a discovery session with you. 30-minute discussion, find out if this is something that would fit for you. I do believe that we can honor ourselves by continuing to look within and to know that possibility of complete alignment and happiness is absolutely what is there for all of us.
Look at what
possibility.
Look what Lydia put in the chat.
$15 we'll spend on that mower. But possibility is what I want you to think about. Possibility. Anything is possible. If you're depressed, have you considered the possibility that you don't have to be? All right. All right, Dr. Pat, I think we're done.
I think we're done too. Thank you, everybody. Oh, by the way, the punchline to that story with my dad, my uncle's got me boxing gloves.
Oh, fantastic.
Dad had to go to the doctor.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDanae.com. That's Susan Danae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.